Hilchas Talvo Halacha Aleph, Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, which says, Hamalve Bishtar, if a person lends money, if Reuven lends money to Shimon with a document, with a contract, they write it down, and there's witnesses that sign on that piece of paper that say, on this day, in the presence of these two witnesses, I, Reuven, lend Shimon $1,000 for 6 months, for a set period of time, etc. If all of that is written in a shtar, in a legal document with witnesses signed properly, goyve min hamishubodim, then when the time arrives, after 6 months, when the date comes when Shimon is supposed to pay back that loan, and he says he doesn't have the money, Reuven is allowed to investigate, or the court will investigate, to see if during those 6 months did Shimon sell any of his real estate, any of his property. If he did, because of the fact that the loan was written down in a legal document, it was in writing, that puts a lien. There's automatically a lien on all of Shimon's properties. So again, if he sold something before the loan, can't touch that. But any properties that he owned at the time that Reuven lent him the money, if the loan was with a shtar, those properties are attached automatically to that shtar, to that loan. And therefore, Reuven, if Shimon went ahead and sold a building, a field to Levi, to Yehuda, Reuven can go to that person who purchased the field and said, hey, buddy, I really feel sorry for you. I know you paid full price and everything, but it's not my problem. This field is now mine. Get off my property. You go back to Shimon, and you get him to return your money. Because at the time that I lent him the money, this field, I lent it to him based on the fact that he had properties that I knew that I could attach it to. Avol milva bal peh. Whereas, if a loan is not written down, if it was only verbal, ein goyvem en hashubodim, then the properties are not attached to it. And Reuven cannot go and try to collect from any of that real estate. One of the reasons for this is because if it's in writing, people hear about it, people know about it. So a person knows to be on the lookout, especially today. We know when you go buy a house, there's a standard procedure that they do a title search. They, on the computer, they do a search to see, does anybody have any legal hold on this house? Is there any written documentation anywhere in the world that somebody has an attachment to this house? But if it wasn't written down, how in the world should anybody know? Somebody goes to buy a house, how was I supposed to know that you lent him money? If you put it in writing and there's a record of that, the court, you know, then it's a different situation. Rav Nosson Zal now is going to base this halacha on chapter 173 in Likutei Moran, which is a short but deep chapter. There Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the soul of a person, and he speaks about writing. He speaks about the fact that a tzaddik, by looking at the writing of a person, can know a lot about the soul of the person. We know the Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that in the, Hashem gave us the Ten Commandments. The opening word of the Ten Commandments, Anoichi, I am, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am your Hashem. The Gemara says that the word Anoichi makes up the first letters of Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. I myself have written this document. Now the word myself, the word for myself, is nafshi, my soul. I, my soul, have written this document. In other words, Hashem is telling us that the soul of Hashem is in the Torah. And so too, when a person writes a document with any kind of seriousness, they're putting their heart and soul in that. Their soul is in that. And a tzaddik can look at that and can be able to see things about the soul. We know today, you have people, graphologists and all kinds of different people who are not necessarily tzaddikim, who profess to be able to tell things by the handwriting of a person. on a physical level, there might be things that you can tell by a person's hearing, if it's neat, if it's choppy, if it's short, different things. Here we're talking about a different level completely. We're talking about being able to look into the soul of a person. We know that there's a pasuk that says, Nafshi yotzo bedabroi. My soul comes forth when I speak. When a person speaks, a lot of times you say, I spilled my guts out to you. When a person's talking, if they're really talking, they're talking from inside. It's coming from way inside the person. When a person says, I said, we know the Sforim tell us, especially the Sifrei Kabbalah, the word I, when a person says I or me, what is he referring to? Is he referring to the hair on his hand? Is he referring to the flesh? Is he referring to the bones? No. The word I is referring to the essence of the person. It's referring to the soul. When I say I, what the real I is the battery that's inside the person, the soul. That's the real I. And again, over there in that chapter, in the Likutei Moran, chapter 173, Rabbeinu Zal discusses three major topics. He discusses faith. And he discusses the ability to see a person's soul, the nefesh, through their dibur, through their speech, and especially through their writing. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to use that chapter in Likutei Moran to clarify this topic of lending and borrowing money with a written document, getting married with a written document, getting divorced with a written document. We're going to talk about that now. Al Pima Shekosov Rabbeinu Zal, based on what Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likutei Moran, chapter 173, Shal Yedei Haksav Yecholin Lahaker Hanefesh, that through the writing of a person, a true tzaddik has the ability to recognize the soul of the person, Upnimius Shoyresh Hanefesh, and not just the soul, but the innermost part of the soul, the roots of the soul, like where the soul draws its light from. Bibichinas, as based on the wording in the Gemara, Onoichi, when the Gemara in Shabbos expounds on the word Onoichi, I, the Gemara says that the word Onoichi makes up the first letters of Ano, Nafshi, Ksovis, Yehovis. I, my soul, place in my writing. My soul is in my writing. Shebahaksav noisein umegala hanefesh. In the writing of the person, he places and he reveals his innermost feelings and the inner workings of his soul. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran. Now just for a moment, we know in Hebrew there's the word anoichi and there's the word ani. Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran references the Arizal, who mentions that the word ani is ano nafshi Yehovis. I give over my soul. The word anoichi is different in that it has the letter chaf. We know that the letter chaf always represents the keser, the crown. Chaf in Hebrew is 20, esrim, which is bigimatria keser, the word esrim. There are many ways to show that, because the keser represents the top level of light, which reaches down 10 levels and bounces back up 10. So it covers a span of 20. So the Arizal and Zohar Kodesh explain that in the word anoichi, you have the ani, which is the nefesh, you have the chaf, which is the pnimius hanefesh, which refers to the crown, which is, because when we use the term nefesh, as we're going to see, nefesh is one of the lowest spiritual terms in speaking about a person. We know there's nefesh, there's ruach, and neshama. Just those three levels for starters. Nefesh is called nefesh habahamius. The word nefesh sometimes is used to refer to the body, and when it refers to the soul, it refers to the lowest level of the soul. Whereas the word neshama refers to the highest level of the soul. Here in this term, so again, this the chaf over here of anoichi represents the crown, the keser, which is like the it's called the pnimius hanefesh, the innermost, the most spiritual part of the soul. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, and remember, because this is halacha aleph, it means Rav Nosson Zal wrote this earlier in his life. He made passes over the entire Shulchan Aruch every few years and wrote Likutei Halachos. So he wrote all the Halacha Alephs, then he went back again, then he did the Halacha Bezes, and usually Halacha Alephs are shorter and more choppy, a little more concise. Usually in the later halachas, he explains much more. It's a little easier to understand and follow, just to know this as a rule. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, V'nira l'anias daiti, it seems to me, sheze bechinas, that what Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, sheze bechinas shekol hakinyonim v'hashibudim, Iker Gmar Kinyonam Vishibudam Hu Daikal Ideaksav, that this will explain why in Torah law all acquisitions and all liens, a lien on property, a lien, any of those things, are usually completed only in writing. It's only when it's writing with witnesses and everything, that's when it's really signed, sealed, and delivered. With all the verbal commitments and all the meetings and the negotiations, and he said and they said, until it's in writing, signed and sealed, and legally confirmed, usually it's not yet complete. Dehainu, al yedei hashtorois, through these legal documents. Vezeh bechinas get krisus. And this is also why the Torah tells us that when there is a bond between a husband and wife, the only way that that can be undone, the only thing that can cut it, that can break it, is a get, a written document. Shehu alidei ksav daiko, which must be in writing. Ki isa b'divrei rabbeinu, b'may mar gzela, because it's brought in Likutei Moran, in the chapter in Likutei Moran that deals with, that speaks about stealing. And here there's a mistake in some of the Likutei Halachos. It says chapter 173. That's a mistake. It's chapter 69. That's what it's referring to. There's a chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates a lot on the topic of money. And he quotes the Gemara, which says that when a person steals from a person, it's as if he's taking his wife and kids. And Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on that tremendously, showing how the money in a family, the money of the husband comes from and is based on the wife. And the children who receive inheritance, they are also dependent on the wife and the husband. He shows how the whole connection works over there in chapter 69 in Likutei Moran. So Rabbeinu Zal says there, She'ikar hu ashirus hu bebechinas so'isha, that the main source of wealth is the woman. The Gemara says, Beisoi zuishtoi, a person's house is his wife. Bibechinas nefesh, because she represents the nefesh. Again, the nefesh in this context is the lowest level, the lowest spiritual level. If you have a neshama and a nefesh, the man in this context would be referred to as the neshama, the woman as the nefesh. We know the Gemara says, a person should sell everything he owns to buy a pair of shoes. And it says a person should sell everything he owns to marry a good woman, to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. And we find many times that the wife is compared to the shoes, the feet, the shoes, the feet of the husband. On one hand, it's what supports him, because the money is also referred to as the feet. There's a pasuk ves kol hayakum asher baraglecha, and that which establishes you on your feet. The Gemara says, Zum memoinoi shalodom. That refers to a person's money, which gives him his upstandingness, gives him the ability to stand up. So the money and the wife and the nefesh go together. Ki kol hanefoshois sharoshom bashirus, because all nefoshois are rooted, they come from the same place as wealth comes from the throne of Hashem. V'ho'oysher v'ha'kovoid milfonecho, the ashirus comes from the kisei ha'kovoid. V'zeh b'chinas kesef kiddushin. And this is also why a man acquires a woman with money, with a ring, either money or something worth money. Ki kesef hi shleimus nafsho v'sharosho, because money is what completes the soul of the woman, the nefesh of the woman, and money is also the root, the place where her soul originates from. V'alkein niknis al yedei kesef. And this is why a man acquires a woman through money. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 69 in Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. He brings the psukim and the gemaras, all the different proofs for this. Nimtza, we see therefore, shekol hakinyonim sheyesh lodom, that all acquisitions that a person does, all things that a person acquires, shehem ho ashirus sheloi, which is his wealth, that's his possessions, kulam heim shoroshe nafshoi, they are all associated, connected with his nefesh, the nefesh. V'chol hamasa umatan umemko umemkar v'halvoi shebenodom l'chaveroi, and all business and transaction and loans and everything that a person deals with, kulam heim bebechinas hanefoshois, it's all about a transfer of souls. It's all movement of souls. Sheze moicher loy bechinas nefesh kazu, Reuven is selling Shimon such a nefesh, he's selling him a car, a table, a house, whatever it is, with a certain nefesh in it. Tmurasoi bechinas nefoshoi sacherim, and he's receiving in exchange either money or barter something else. He's receiving something else in exchange, which is different nefoshois. There's a transfer of nefoshois going on. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in Likut Emran, Ayin Shom. V'alkein, and therefore, al yedei hadibur levad roi l'kayim hamasumatan. On one hand, it would be logical to say that with speech alone, you can do business. If a person says, I'm going to sell you, I'm selling you this, or I'm going to sell, that should be sufficient on a certain level. You know why? Because speech is one of the ways that a person gives forth his soul, the nefesh. The Bechinas, as it says in Shir HaShirim, chapter 5, Nafshi yotzo bedabroi, my soul comes forth when I speak. And as Rabbeinu Zal mentions this over there in chapter 173 in Likut Imran, that a tzaddik, by hearing a person's speech, also knows a lot about him, but much more through the writing. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemedaber v'oimer shemoicher oinois nois adover, when a Jew speaks and he says, I'm selling you my house, I'm selling you my car, whatever it is, or I'm giving you this item, just by saying it alone, the soul that was found in that car or that house, whatever it is, gets transferred, gets given over to the other person. From the possession of the seller to the possession of the acquirer. V'alkein, and it's for this reason, Osur lachsur midibur, that if a Jew says they're going to do something, they're not allowed to go back on their word. Just saying it alone, you're not allowed to retract what you said. V'nikra mechusar amona. And if a person does, he is considered untrustworthy. He loses his trustworthiness because he doesn't keep his word. We know the Gemara tells a story about a rabbi who was on such a high level. Here we're talking about speech and writing. There was a rabbi who was once davening, and when he was davening, he didn't want to speak, he didn't want to talk. And somebody approached him and asked him, would you sell me such and such that you own for such a price? And he heard the person's offer, and in his mind, in his heart, he felt that it was a good offer. He accepted the offer. He didn't say anything, nothing was said, nothing was put in writing. The person didn't hear an answer. He said, what about for double? What about for $1,000? Would you sell to me? Still no answer. What about for $5,000? This person really needed that item, obviously, and money wasn't an issue, and he went up to a huge amount. When the rabbi finished davening, he said, it's yours for $500. The person said, how could it be? He said, because when you made your first offer, I had accepted it in my heart. And there's a pasuk, v'doiver emes bilvovoi, that a Jew, the real high level for a Jew to want to get to is to speak the truth in your heart, even while it's in your heart, even before you say it. That when a person thinks something, that alone is a certain level of commitment. It's levels, it's different levels. But for now here, we're speaking about speech and writing. We know that there are certain opinions in Shulchan Aruch that if a person thinks that they're going to give a certain contribution to tzedakah or something like that, they should try to fulfill it. Even if the thought came into their mind, but they didn't say anything, because even thought is a powerful thing. Umikolshkein al yedei kesef, especially if there's a transfer of money, if the guy already gave you a deposit on the house or a deposit on the car, shehu shoyresh hanafoshois, and we said money is rooted in the same place that souls. Money comes from the throne of Hashem, which is the same place that the souls come from. So for sure, if there was a transfer of money, that surely obligates the person. Alkein hu koine midoiraisa. And that's why legally, according to the Torah, once a person gave money for something, he has acquired it. Ki hakoil te'evin el hamomain shehu shoyresh hanefesh. Because everyone craves money. Everyone wants money. It's one of the most desirable things. And the word desire is synonymous with soul. The word nefesh in Hebrew means to desire, to want. There's a pasuk in Chumash where Avram Avinu said to the Bnei Ches, if you want to sell me this property, this grave site, then let's do it. He said, im yesh es nafshechem, if you want. So the word nefesh means want, which is another word for money, which is something that people crave and desire. V'alkein, tekev shemekabla mechaveroi kesef, and therefore as soon as a person receives money, bevadai hu goymer umakneloi hanefoshois, sheyesh boisan hachafotzim anem korim. The seller certainly transfers those souls that he possesses that are found in that car or that house or whatever it is, he transfers it over to the buyer because the buyer already gave money for it. Ki kulam betelim legabi hashoyresh shelahem, because all of them fall into line. All of them are nullified to their roots, to their source. It's like a domino effect. As soon as the money is given, which is the root of the souls, all the other souls fall into line. Dehainu hakesef, they all become bottle to the money. Achim kolze, however, with all of that said and done, gmar v'chizuk kol akinyonim hu, what really concludes a deal, and what really makes it strong and powerful and irreversible just about, hurak al yedei ksav, is only when it's put in writing. Dehainu ashtar. Ki haksav hu bechinas pnimius shoyresh hanefesh. Because we said there's soul, and there's soul, and there's soul. There's different levels of soul. There's the outer soul, the chitzonius, and there's the pnimius of the nefesh. When a person is speaking, that's a certain level of expressing their soul. When a person writes, that's a different league. I believe it's the Rambam, I think, that said that when a person puts something, when a person gives a shiur, let's say, today we know we have video, we have recording devices, or even when you're speaking, you could be speaking to a million people, or you know, but normally, when a person is speaking to another person, he's reaching one person. When a person writes it down, he says it's like speaking to 1,000 people. The default, it's assumed that once it's put in writing, who knows who's going to see it. You don't know where that can go all over the place. Like we say, once something is recorded, it can reach unlimited amount of people. V'alkein, and therefore, kishenoisen leksav, when he gives him a written contract, and he expresses his thoughts and his desire in writing, that he's selling or giving him whatever object it is, Moitzi Hadovor Legamri Mirashusoi, then that item leaves his possession completely impnimius sharoshoi, even with its innermost roots, you know, going to the depth of the soul of it, every last vestige of it. Kimegale pnimius shoresh nafshoi al yedei aksav, because when a person puts it in writing, he shows that that's what he really wants to do. We know there's a lot of people that'll say a lot of things, but you tell them, put it in writing. You want me to put it in writing? Let me think about it. Let me go home and think about it. They'll think it over 1,000 times. Why? Because again, in writing, it's the pnimius hanefesh. Saying it is an expression of the nefesh. Putting it in writing is a whole different level. That he wants to take this thing out of his possession and to give it over to the other person. Nemtzo, we see therefore, nigmar legamrei mirshusoi, that by writing a written contract, that's what really removes the thing totally from the person's possession. And that object no longer has any strings attached whatsoever to the person who put it in writing. Because the thing becomes removed even from the innermost part of his soul. We're being shown here that there's different levels of attachment. There's a person who says, I'm attached to something, and sometimes a person says, goodbye, good riddance, I'm finished. They say it. They're saying it on the surface, but they don't really mean it. Their inner feeling, there's still a connection. Sometimes a parent, chas v'sham lo, will throw a kid out. Get out of here. Get out of my house. They're saying it, and they're actually putting the person out of the house, but they're not, and they're disconnecting from the person on a certain level, chitzoni. But pnimi, in their inner heart, there's still a connection. And if that kid turns around, if that kid makes any move to show regret or whatever, they'll take him back, in most cases, with open arms. V'alkein, and therefore, chizuk ugmar kol hakinyonim adiyaksav. What really strengthens and completes all transactions is the writing. Ki hu tachlis gmar ha'achron, because that's what really finishes it. Ki koidem aksav, because before it was put in writing, af shemochar loy be'echod midarki hakinyon, even though the person executed one of the methods that the Torah prescribes. There was a transfer of money. There was a verbal commitment. I let him hold it. I let him drive the car. So these are all signs showing that I'm ready to sell. Im kol ze eino yoytzei mipnimi es shoyresh nafshoy kimay deksavanal. The object does not become detached from the inner soul of the seller until he puts it in writing. And this is also the significance of a divorce in writing, that that's what detaches the husband and wife permanently. Because even though he acquired her with money or with a ring, despite that, so a person would say, I acquired her with money, give us some money and she's finished, she's out. No. Because after he acquired her, after he married her, nichlolin ze boze, they became united together, v'nishreshes benafshoi, and she became rooted in his soul. V'yevsher lo hitzia legamri mipnimi esheresh nafshoi, and therefore it is impossible to detach her, to disconnect her from his inner soul, kim al yedei aksav. Unless he puts it in writing. Dahainu aget, the divorce. Sheshom megale pnimius shoyresh nafshoy. That's where the person really reveals his inner soul. Sheretzoinoi lohitzio, that he really wants to remove, to get rid of her. Vazai hu krisus legamri. And then and only then is it a complete cut. Kishuv ein lo shum shaychus etzlo kanal. Because from that point on, she has no connection to him. V'alkei nikro get krisus, and this is why the Torah refers to it as a divorce that cuts. Ki ein shum dover hakoyres rak haksav, because the only thing that really cuts the connection between them totally is the writing. Sheshom nizgale pnimi yeshur shanefesh, because it's in the writing of a person that is revealed the inner workings of his soul. We'll continue from here.